Welcome to Vegas Dave's Dive.
Hello everybody, Vegas Dave here. Thank you for joining me here on Vegas Dave's Dime. I don't want to go over too many of the signings and off-season happenings in the NBA simply because, as you know, I'm not a big basketball fan, and you can find better insight and better information in other places. But I have to go over the two completely opposite side of the spectrum stories in Elton Brand and Gilbert Arenas, simply because it's kind of amusing to me. Elton Brand, of course, in 2003 became a restricted free agent, and the Heat came in and offered him 6 years, $82 million, which was a virtual lock to pry him away from the Clippers, because Clippers owner Donald Sterling perennially let young players go for a lot less money than this. The Clippers would suck, draft a great player, the player would begin to develop, and then another team would just come in and pry him away, because Sterling simply refused to open the checkbook. And that's why the Clippers were one of the worst-run organizations in the NBA and in major sports in general for a really long time, simply because they couldn't really rebuild because they didn't keep any of their young talent, and they couldn't get anywhere because they wouldn't sign anybody either. So when the Heat came in and offered Brand 6 years, $82 million as a restricted free agent, everybody was stunned when the Clippers met that offer. And Brand became easily the highest paid player in Clippers history. And when he did that, when Sterling made that decision to sign Brand, he basically said, "This is the player that we want to be the face of our franchise. This is the guy that, unlike so many of the young players we've let go before, this is the one that we want to build our team around for the next half a decade and beyond." And in 2005-2006 season, it was looking like a good move. Brand led the team to the playoffs. They beat the Nuggets in the first round of the playoffs. They took the Phoenix Suns to a Game 7. And it was looking like the Clippers were turning a corner and could actually become a playoff threat in the West. Elton Brand had an off year in 06-07, and so the Clippers didn't make the playoffs. They were extremely reliant on him having a strong season. And in 07-08, he ruptured his Achilles tendon, which forced him to miss all but 8 games that season. And so we get to the present, where Brand has the option of opting out of his contract or staying for a guaranteed $19 million. And he opts out, but not in the standard sense where somebody opts out and says, "I'm going to go test the free agent waters and I'm going to go see what kind of deal I can get, or I'm not happy with the Clippers anymore, I want to leave." He opted out and then stated he wants to re-sign with the Clippers. He said he wanted to give them the payroll flexibility to strengthen their roster and then try and work something out with them. With this flexibility, the Clippers go out and add Baron Davis, who's one of the most explosive players in the game. And now all of a sudden, everybody's penciling Brand back into the lineup, and because obviously the Clippers held up their end of the deal in getting Baron Davis. And all of a sudden, the Clippers are looking like they could be a legitimate threat in the West once again, and maybe for years to come. Because while there are some strong teams in the West, the combination of Brand and Davis would have been extremely difficult for most teams to overcome. Instead, Brand just leaves. He goes and signs with the 76ers. Just bails on them. And the problem I have here is, why say that you want to re-sign with the Clippers if they go out and strengthen their roster? it wasn't a matter of, like, bumping up salary because he ended up signing with the 76ers for only a couple of million more than he would have with the Clippers. It was a very small margin. So it wasn't really about the money. He simply wanted to go to the 76ers. So I just don't understand why he would go through the trouble of saying to the Clippers, I will be back if you go out and get somebody. And the Clippers go out and get Baron Davis. And all of a sudden, Clippers fans, who haven't had a whole lot to cheer for in their duration as Clipper fans, and who've had to be the forgotten stepchild to the Lakers for so many years, they get excited because they're going to have Baron Davis and Elton Brand, and then Brand just bails. After so many seasons in Los Angeles, I just think the fans deserved better. If he would have just opted out and left, that's business, that's the NBA, whatever. But to go as far as to say you want to return if the Clippers make a commitment to winning, and the Clippers go out and make a commitment to winning, to not re-sign just wasn't a classy move, in my opinion. And credit to Baron Davis for still signing, because I think when Baron Davis agreed in principle to the deal, he was under the impression that Brand would be back and that the Clippers would be a threat. Now he's looking around, and with Livingston gone and Brand gone, all of a sudden, Baron Davis is just running the show again. And it was just a verbal agreement. He could have very well said, sorry, that's not quite what I had in mind, but he went ahead and signed with the Clippers anyway. More power to him for staying true to his word, despite the fact that the situation got significantly worse when he made the verbal agreement. On the flip side of that story, you've got Gilbert Arenas, who opts out of his contract with Washington and said he'd consider re-signing if teammate Anton Jameson was re-signed. He wanted Jameson back, and if Jameson came back, he said he would be back too. Jameson is re-signed, and so the Wizards go to Arenas and say, okay, we're going to sign you to 6 years, $124 million. Obviously, they wanted to bring Arenas back. That was the deal on the table. 6 years, $124 million. Arenas, on his own, without an agent, on his own, says, instead of $124 million, why don't you make it $111 million? I'll take $13 million less so that you can have more room financially to go out and improve the team over the next 6 years. And it may not seem too significant. $13 million over 6 years is just $2 million a year. But considering players that aren't superstars, the key role players and the key bench players on championship teams are getting paid $2 million, $3 million. And that extra few million that isn't tied up in Arenas simply because of his selflessness will help down the stretch for the Wizards. And while people have made a big deal about this story, I don't want to say it's been completely brushed under the rug, people have said, wow, what a great gesture by Arenas to do this. But the thing I hear from a lot of people, too, is, what's the difference? $111 million, $124 million, you're set for life either way. It doesn't really matter that much. And that may be partially true. I'm not saying he's not set for life on $111 million. But this is a $13 million difference. And I understand the theory of relativity. I know that $13 million to somebody that's making upwards of $200 million in their career isn't that big of a deal. But if you just put all that aside for a second and look at the isolated number of $13 million, that is a lot of money. And a lot of things can be done with $13 million. You can go out and buy a lot of extravagant things with $13 million. Let's not undersell the fact that Gilbert Arenas, for the sake of his team, took a huge pay cut. Not talking about percentages, not talking about whether or not he's set for life. I'm simply saying the guy, on his own, gave up $13 million in a selfless act to help the team that he wants to be the franchise player for. And that, to me, deserves some kind of a medal. I don't have a medal to give him, and he's got $111 million. I suppose he could buy one for himself. But I applaud Gilbert Arenas, not only for keeping his word and re-signing with the Wizards after saying he would if Jameson was re-signed, but also for the selfless act. It's awesome, and it gained a lot of respect in my book. So on that note, I'm going to wrap things up. As always, you can email me at vegasdavesdime@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment here on the page. Thank you for listening. There's my dime, because 2 cents just isn't enough.